Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast. Thank you for subscribing.
I want to do something a little bit different here today.
What's that?
Every single day in the show, we do something called Three Things to Know Today. And it's a sort of rapid segment of, you know, three sort of things going on in the world.
The
lifestyle
things,
or whatever. Newsy.
6:50, 7:50, and 8:50.
And 8:50.
Every morning.
Right. And so often.
Or whenever you listen to the podcast.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, whenever you want
day,
to.
Yeah, right.
But it's some of my favorite things to discuss and learn are in Three Things to Know.
Yeah.
And I want to take it further. And so I thought today, let's take some of my favorite ones from this week and take it a little further in this After the Show podcast.
Okay. Right.
Can we do that?
Sure.
One of my favorites from this week, and it landed in the show twice, was the Wendy's surge pricing. It was a big story in, you know, the news, as it probably should have been, the fact that supposedly they were going to start surge pricing. And
they were going to experiment with that starting next year.
They were going to. Mm-hmm. And then today or the next day, they were like, whoa, 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 because they had such a backlash. No, we're not going to do that. They did have some different pricing things that they were considering as a company. And, you know, according to one of the main, you know, like the CEO of the company, like they had talked about investing in these new digital menu boards that can change based on what's going on. But he said it's to make prices lower at certain times for certain items.
That's
like, great.
That's his clarification now.
Right.
However, every news outlet took it as the other way.
Well, either way, to me, if they maybe made a little mistake and self-corrected, I'm fine with that. I like the just being open about it. But price surging like that is something that is, it's all over the place. The number one company that does it that you can think of is Uber.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just Uber. And it's funny to me. I'm assuming the press, the media has given it the term surge.
Sure.
Because really what it is the correct term is dynamic pricing. And look, Uber wasn't the first to do it.
No.
The airlines have done it for a long time.
Exactly.
The technology has been there for a long time. Hotels, they've done that for a long
time, right? I was thinking Uber only.
It's basically inventory management. You know, it's the laws of supply and demand.
Yeah.
If a hotel becomes 80% booked, those remaining rooms are going to get higher because there's more demand than there are rooms. And it might have been a public relations error for Wendy's to make. And again, I don't know, because by the time a story like this hits the news, I question it anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's why I wanted to talk about it further. Yeah. To me, it's like, I think it's been a lot of good discussion. And for them, I cannot imagine that was the intention. Maybe we'll never know. Maybe there'll be a documentary on it.
The CEO, when he first told everybody about this, he was speaking, and I have a feeling it was probably off the top of my head. Oh, yeah, surge, you know, dynamic pricing, da-da-da. And, yeah, it's because of the digital menus. Number one, it's going to be during off hours. We're going to lower prices on those boards, so you might want to buy something. Also, the thing they're going to use is I can't remember the phrase they call it, but it's like to influence your purchase. Mm-hmm. Like if, you know, the Egg McMuffins aren't moving too fast today, when you drive up, this is breakfast time, let's put the Egg McMuffin on the screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not like that's the only thing they offer, but it's like, let's feature something so you'll go, oh, yeah, I could use an Egg McMuffin.
Well, they want to use the same AI even Amazon has dynamic pricing. You know, everything in the digital world right now does fluctuate, you know, based on supply and demand. And I can understand why a fast food restaurant chain would want to do that. They're trying to run a brick and mortar business just like anybody else with a lot of competition. And they need to be able to do things on the fly without having a full-time digital social media director person on site or whatever it would be. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. It is the future of that when we roll in. But I will say that, number one, I think the smartest thing they've got going is the Frosty announcements. That strawberry Frosty recently, wow. And there's a creamsicle one coming.
Yeah, in like the next 2 weeks.
So yay, Wendy's. Thank you for that.
That's what they need to do is get focused back on that.
Right.
You know what? The other thing I just realized too,
what?
You want to talk old school for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Gas prices have always been dynamic.
Correct.
Way since before AI ever existed, when you would have people go up on the board and change the numbers.
Mm.
That's dynamic pricing. You know, same thing. What it cost them to get the fuel in the first place.
Right.
Supply and demand and the whole thing. And now, I mean, they can change those. Many of those convenience stores that are corporately controlled anyway, those fuel prices they're not flipped on a lever in the store itself.
Yeah.
It's being managed elsewhere.
Right.
So this really is not a new concept. This is one. It's a perfect example of how the terminology meets media and the way the news story is crafted that creates the story. Right.
Now, but I did read also this weekend, I think we mentioned that there are a lot of businesses that, you know, they buy this sort of software. And it happens more than you maybe even realize, unless you're paying attention closely to a burger joint and exactly how much that burger costs. It might be costing a different price at a different time.
Mm-hmm.
It might very well be happening to you without you realizing.
Correct.
It.
Yeah.
This was just a lot of light on it this week.
Yeah.
Also, moving on, another one that I enjoyed a lot this week that was funny to me, and Sam always had something funny to say about it. Delta Airlines adding a new solar eclipse flight. Because the first one that they offered sold out within 24 hours. So on April 8th, you can get on a flight from Austin and you leave their local time and you travel along the path of totality to view the eclipse. You land in Detroit like 4:30 in the afternoon. And then they added a second flight, a larger aircraft, so more people can buy the ticket, get on, and watch it from up there.
And this is a round trip, right? I mean, everybody doesn't get stuck in Detroit.
I didn't dig in, but I mean, I think that's up to you. No, I think.
Wow, that eclipse was great. Now what?
Per usual, that's up to you.
Yeah.
You need to book the flight back with no eclipse to watch.
My question about that, and it was just humorous, but like, what side of the plane is going to have the eclipse?
Right. Murphy loves to pick, choose the seats
when
you book, and it's like, yeah, you need to know which side.
Yeah.
Not that you're not going to be able to see it.
I'm sure that because this is a specific eclipse flight, the pilot's going to do something like that, make sure both sides can see it.
Well, I mean, maybe the flight path has been designed in a way, mm-hmm. if it's Austin to Detroit, that you're flying. I'm sure that there is some sort of an astronomical, mm-hmm. Scientific approach that's being done to it.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you would have one side of the plane with the really cheap seats.
I'll be cruising at 30,000 feet, and I am sorry for you folks on the left side.
Yeah.
You're not going to see what you're paying for.
Can you please open your window over there?
You know what I miss about, and I understand all the reasons for safety that we have to do it today, but after 9/11, when they mm-hmm. locked the pilots area and so forth, prior to that, if the pilots, many times they would leave their, there was a curtain that they had most times, and you could see out of the front of the plane, which mm-hmm. was really exciting for somebody like me who actually likes that.
Yeah.
But you can't see straight out of the plane now, unless you're doing
the
virtual view, that kind of thing, but even that's not live.
See, I don't need to see out of the front of the plane.
I love that. I was always fascinated by that.
I'm good with not seeing out of the front of the plane. Another interesting story that, I guess this is retailers' right. Some retailers may be banning some shoppers from ordering online. It's about online shopping privileges being revoked. People who return too many things. Mm. They feel like what's happening in the online shopping world, which is where so much money is spent, you buy it, you wear it to an event, or you wear it once or twice, and then you return it because you have like a 30 or 60 day return policy, and retailers are seeing stuff come back. They're like, this looks like it's been worn and we've been taken. And so it's like places like, I'll mention a couple that were mentioned, Urban Outfitters, they've considered it. ASOS, I don't know if I said that right. They're no longer allowing what they call habitual returners to complete orders online to be able to return something like that.
Right, so that's real.
Shopper beware or returner beware.
Yeah.
And I think that's their right, don't you, in the retail world to say, not going to take this back.
Well, yeah, it's taking advantage of a situation. You're not even paying a rental. You're taking it for free and you're sending it back. If mm-hmm. you're habitual and it's clear that that's what you're doing and your intent is really never to buy it, because that's really not the intent of the return policy. The return policy is to let you know it's a friendly, a friendly retailer, right, that wants to make sure that you're a satisfied customer.
I remember being my biggest question when I first started. When the first few times I bought something online that was to go on my body, because I remember thinking, how in the world could I ever buy jeans online? You have to try on 6 pair before you get the right feel and fit.
Mm-hmm.
But then I finally did it, caved a little bit, and it's like, okay, as long as you know the return policy well enough, you can start to, take those chances, especially with a brand that you know, because you know that, hey, in this brand I wear medium, mm-hmm. or in this brand large is better for me. You learn those things.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, the retailer really can't take it back and resell it as new again in many cases.
Can't.
And so, no business is in business to lose money. The it's true.
That's, you're right.
It
you're
is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, but it's.
I'm good with seeing it from their perspective. Yeah. Yes.
The there's a couple of businesses that I buy things from that now have restocking fees. Oh. If you decide that you don't want it, you can certainly return it if you want to.
That's
but there's a restocking fee of anywhere between 10 and 25% depending on what the actual cost of the of the item was. And to me, that makes sense.
That's fair.
If I, you know, if I got if I get a pair of pants that come to me at $60 and you know, most places again they take the free returns, but if I become habitual, you know, and then I start having to pay $6 every time I want to return something, I probably won't do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Meaning if my intent is never to keep it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called a restocking fee, but it's really a return fee.
Yeah.
That's just them being smart with their language. Mm-hmm. But yes, so just so you know, they're watching you if you return a lot, as they have every right. Another favorite one is just fun. It's the way trends go. I love this so much. Beyonce's country album is spiking interest in country style, meaning how many times have fun, female, fashionable cowboy hats been Googled since she dropped that?
Yeah.
A ton.
Yeah?
A ton, according to Google. She's, you know, last year, and we mentioned this in Three Things to Know, when we mentioned this, that Barbiecore and everything Barbie and pink, that color pink sold out in paint. And it's so funny that Beyonce is not just affecting music, but she's affecting fashion. And as Taylor Swift does, too. Do you guys remember... 6 or 7 months back, well, of course, I remember this. She was wearing some velvety green dress on...
Who was?
Taylor Swift.
Oh.
She was wearing it. It was right before she started dating Travis Kelce. But I don't think Travis has anything to do with this. This is about her being in her prime with the Eras Tour. And she was out in New York City, maybe with Sophie Turner, maybe Blake Lively. I can't remember. But she was wearing a greenish velvet-looking dress. And she had snake boots on or something. Everybody thought, oh, that means reputation is coming. Well, everybody just did. We were worried about reputation if you're a fan and you're watching it. The next day, the online retailer who sold the dress sold out of the dress. And I read a fantastic story. It was like a mom and pop business. And they recognized their own dress on her. And they looked into their records. And sure enough, she has a... not a fake, but she bought it herself from them online and not using her real name.
Sailor Twist?
Whatever. She probably has some sort of, or there's somebody, assistant, probably her assistant does it for her. But they were like, yeah, that's her wearing our dress. We didn't know it was her, but they could track it back to, we think this is it. And they sold out because a lot of Swifties saw it and found it and they were sold out of it.
Yeah.
So pop culture really does push trends in almost every business.
Yeah,
Beyonce being one of them.
Not intentional. It's amazing.
I know. My favorite one of the week, and we can end on this, 70% of Americans. And anytime you say 70%, you might as well just say most, because that's a high percentage of 70% of Americans would prefer comfort food, mac and cheese, burgers, mom's meatloaf. You know, comfort food to the most gourmet meal they've ever had, to a filet with crab meat on top, to with lobster. You would prefer comfort. And I think that's so cool just to know.
Well, that's why you always got to stand in line for an hour at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. Uncle Herschel's super comforting, isn't he?
Apparently.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.